Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at the last half of this chapter, just a couple of things really. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When I was in the Army, I had some friends that had gone to a school which is called Ranger School. This was back in the 1970s. It was much different then than it is now, I think, but they still do that. And Ranger School is one of the harder military, Army schools, I should say. And if you ever got those guys together that had been there, I didn't get to go, but if you got the guys together that had been there, they'd always tell stories, and their stories would always be about things when they got difficult. Even my dad, when my dad would tell stories of when he was young, he'd tell stories about when things were difficult. And I remember, I've told you this before, I think, but my dad often told me about the year when at Christmas they had nothing. It was they were so poor that for Christmas, I think he got a banana, and that was his Christmas present, was a banana. And of course, back then bananas weren't that commonplace, but that's all he got. And he didn't say, oh, this was a terrible thing. He kind of told the story like it was kind of neat. And you know, the guys that told the story about Ranger School and about how cold they were, how tired they were, or how difficult it was, they didn't tell those stories like it was a bad thing, but it was like they got through, you know? Now, I think the good chance is that when we get to heaven, we're going to tell each other some stories. And I don't think you're going to tell stories about when things were going smooth and everything was wonderful, but I think we're going to tell stories about the times that God got us through. And I can back that up because what are the stories in the Bible about? When God got some people through. You know, what are the stories that we love to tell about? You know, Daniel in the lion's den or David and Goliath. When the times when at the time it was not amusing. Right now, if you're a Christian, I expect you could tell me some stories about times that were not amusing, but God got you through. So that's what Paul's going to do tonight. And I want to say it very clearly. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be able to tell people, the reason that my ministry was a success is because I was such a good speaker and because I was such a hard worker and because I was so intelligent. And you're not going to brag about that kind of stuff in heaven, because you know what? The reason you have any success is because of God. But I think there'll be some stories to tell about some lions and some giants, some fiery furnaces, and every one of those is going to bring glory to Christ. So Paul, if you have your Bible, please look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 16. And I just want to read a couple of verses and pray, and then I'll kind of tell you where this is going. This won't take long, but it's really exciting, I think. 2 Corinthians 11, 16, he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me. He said, don't think I'm foolish, but if you do, that's fine. Just listen. He says, that I may boast myself a little. Now, that's unusual, but anyway, he's going to talk about himself a little. He says, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. He says, ye suffer, or ye allow fools, you listen to fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. And he's kind of making fun of them there, by the way. For ye suffer, or ye allow, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. And he says, I speak as concerning reproach. He's reproaching them as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. That's a very complicated way of saying. What he's saying to them is this. He says, you've been listening to some people that are talking about how good they are. And he said, let me just tell you a few things about myself. And he is going to say very clearly, and we'll look at this and pray. Look at verse 30. He says, if I must needs glory. And that boasting is just giving glory to yourself is what it is. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. We'll think about that here in just a minute. Let's pray if we could. Father, thank you tonight that even though we are weak, the Lord Jesus Christ is strong. Lord, each of us here tonight have a trust. We understand how weak we are, that we depend upon you for whatever we can accomplish, for our thoughts, for our words, for our strength. And Lord, as we grow older, we especially depend upon you to continue to give us strength. And even this coming Sunday night, we're going to look at Elijah and how you gave him strength when he was persecuted. Father, tonight I pray that you'd help each one here to understand what's being said. Help me to speak clearly, not to say too little or too much. And I pray that you'd bless our time together in these next few minutes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, do all to the glory of God. What does that mean? Glory. Glory is when you get credit for being good. Folks, everything God does is good. And God does some great things. We looked at a psalm in the devotion the other day. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. If you just want to see how great God is, look at your salvation. And I hope everyone here tonight is saved. Amen? Amen. And I know we may not be, we're not sinless, and we may not be perfect. I hope we're trying to be what God wants us to be. But one of these days, because of Jesus shed blood on the cross, you and I are going to spend eternity together in a place we call heaven. Amen? And everything's going to be okay. There are going to be no arguments. There's going to be no pride. There's going to be no diabetes. There's going to be no illnesses. There'll be no pacemakers, Clara. No pacemakers. There'll be no COVID. There'll be no presidential elections. We're just going to have a great time for all eternity. How great is God? And you know what? We didn't deserve that, did we? No. Now, the Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags and just gross, disgusting, something that would not even want to be touched. That's the best we can be. But Jesus, because of his shed blood on the cross, saved us. That's how great God is. So Paul's not boasting about how good he is. He makes it very clear. The overlying sentiment here is in verse 29 when, or 30, in verse 30, when he says, if I have to do this, if I have to talk about me or glory in something, who I am or what I can do, I'm going to glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And so what he's saying there is, I'll just talk about how weak I am. Now, let's go back and see what he talks about. He does not talk about that great message he gave when he was in Athens. And he did preach a good message in Athens one time. He doesn't talk about how the Philippian jailer got saved because he said just the right thing at the right time. He doesn't talk about how good he was at traveling or anything like that. Look at the things that he brags about. And then I might ask you, what kind of things do we... And I want to use the word again because it's in the Bible, but I'll explain it. What kind of things do we glory in? What are we proud of? What do we like to say, hey, that's what I did? Be careful. You know, in our world today, glory is, oh, I'm the best basketball player, or I'm the best businessman, or I'm the best race car driver, or whatever. But that's not the kind of things Paul talks about. It's not what he did. It's what God did with him. And it's interesting what God did with him. So let's look at some of that. He says, we'll go back into verse 20. Let me see where I want to be. Verse 22. 2 Corinthians 11:22. Now he's talking about some other people that have been telling the Corinthians things. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? Now, I speak as a fool. You go back in verse 16. He's going to talk about himself a little bit. And he just wants to make sure you understand he's not taking this too seriously here. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Why 39 stripes? Because the law said they weren't allowed to give 40. And so what he's telling them is five different times, the Jews, five times, not all on the same day, but over a stretch of time here, five different occasions, they did the worst to him that they could do. That was all they could do. They couldn't do any more. I can't imagine how difficult that must have been. And then I need to remind you, God let him go through that to glorify Christ. Someone says, oh, I'm just in such terrible shape. God's letting me go through bad things. Why would God let a Christian suffer? God will let a Christian suffer because, folks, in heaven, that's going to be rewarded. And I honestly believe this. If you don't want to suffer for Jesus, you probably won't have to. Maybe a little. The people that suffered for him were willing to suffer for him. The people, for example, that we know of since the Bible was completed, that were burned at the stake or that were murdered basically because of their faith, God's going to reward that in ways you can't imagine. In fact, Jesus told Peter he was going to glorify Christ in the way that he died, and some people think Peter was crucified upside down. Verse 24, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. I hate to even read this. It's so difficult. Once I was stoned. And by the way, they thought he was dead and they walked away and he got up. I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. He traveled a lot. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. Sounds like Paul got robbed. In perils by mine own countrymen. Oh, yeah. And the Jews constantly harassed him. In perils by the heathen, so did the Gentiles apparently. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Do you know what the word peril means? Danger. Perilous, danger. You say, Pastor, God's just going to keep me perfectly safe. God's going to take care of you, but you might find yourself in a dangerous situation. It sure is quiet. But you see what Paul's saying? He says, God brought me through all this. When you get to heaven and you have a conversation with Paul, he's not going to complain, I can't believe what Jesus made me go through. You know, some people do that, though. Folks, what did Jesus go through for us? Now, don't think it's all bad and sad and a horrible life, but there are some difficult times in the life of a Christian, and there will be rejection. Folks, Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected of men. You try to lead somebody to Christ, you go to their door, and they throw a fit and get mad and call the police, which happened this week, by the way, and you say, well, why does God let that happen? Because God's wise and I'm not. Amen? And he knows. And I can just tell you, the Bible says that the reward in heaven is going to be so much greater than the trial here that you're going to say the trial was worth it. And by the way, we're all doing pretty good tonight. Air conditioner's on. I think most of us have had dinner and the rest will later. And there are a few folks in the hospital like Eva. We pray for her. But we're doing pretty good. And Paul at this day was doing pretty good as well when he's writing these words. He says, thrice I was beaten with rods, stoned, suffered shipwreck, in perils in verse 26. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness. Aren't we sometimes? Man, I get tired. I get tired of being tired. And don't you? And you won't be tired in heaven, amen? It's okay, get tired serving God. We used to go every month in Utah. I was a youth pastor. We would go on a youth rally on a Friday night once a month, and we'd travel to some other church. And there was this one church we went to, and it was 100 miles each way. And 15-passenger van, and this was back in the 80s, and the Ford vans had terrible steering. It had about 6 inches of play, if you ever had one of those things. And so you'd have to turn it way over here to get it to go a little bit and turn it over here to get it a little bit. And it was horrible to drive down the highway in that thing. 100 miles each way with a bunch of screaming teenagers. And coming back at about 11 o'clock at night, and I remember being so tired, I hurt. That's okay. God's going to reward that. You know? And some of us, we get that tired, don't we? That's what he says right here. He says, weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. Whenever you see that word watchings, it means staying up all night or staying up very late. And if you're losing sleep is another way to say it. Watchings. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, times when he was uncomfortable and couldn't do anything about it. Verse 28, beside those things that are without, in other words, the things that affected his body on the outside, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He cared and he prayed and he wrote and he worked and he wanted to see these churches grow. And I hope you're doing that with this church. Amen? It's a church God gave us. You say, well, Pastor, why did he do that? Because he wants us to glorify him. But Paul had a whole bunch of them he was caring for. Amen? And it was a lot of work. He says in verse 29, who's weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? In other words, has anybody else been, has someone treated you offensively? He said, they've done the same thing to me. Now, what it all comes back to is this. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The things that I am weak and God got me through. And that's where I'm going to glory. Look at verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. That's a really strong statement. He says, what I just told you is the truth. Now, here's the implied question. Now, remember, understand this, okay? Corinth, we've been there. We visited there one time. Beautiful place. There's a church in Corinth, and Paul's writing that church. And that church has gotten off the track, and they've got some people that are telling them the wrong things, and they're listening to those people. And those people are saying, don't listen to Paul, listen to us. We know more than Paul does. And they've listened to these people, and it's getting them in trouble. And what Paul says is, let me just give you my credentials, and then I'll find out what their credentials are. Folks, when I say credentials, I mean our qualifications, our proof of merit, our evidence that we are true. Folks, if you haven't suffered for Christ, that's a problem. And if you have suffered for Christ, that's glory. Amen? That's the thing you boast about. Now, I'm just like the rest of you. I don't enjoy it. Paul didn't say, oh, it was really great being stoned. It was really great being beaten with rods. It was really great being, you know, beaten with a whip, 39 stripes, 5 different times. He didn't say that at all. It was horrible. He went through things you and I will never go through. But we're going to go through some things. Amen? Now, I just got to go ahead and say it. Don't answer out loud. If Jesus asked you to, would you go through something for him? Amen? And don't you think if God wanted to, he can keep you away from those things? You read Job, and it's pretty clear. Job knew good and well that if it hadn't been for God, nothing could have happened. God had to let it happen. So somebody treated you offensively, that's the phrase Paul uses, or somebody mistreated you, or somebody persecuted you, or somebody mocked you, or somebody rejected you, and you say, wow, that was bad. I didn't enjoy that at all. God let it happen so he could be glorified. And you know what glorifies him? When you keep on going. Amen? I'll tell you a little something, and then we'll finish these last couple of verses. I noticed something way back when I was in Utah. And this is for everybody here, okay? I noticed that when people get involved in church and they start to do things, that they begin to, the fancy words would be, they begin to invest themselves in the ministry. They begin to expend their time and use their resources, even their money, to support the church and to keep the church growing and to keep the church going. And when they're working and when they're doing something, they'll put up with problems. They'll put up with things like, you're never going to have anything this bad, but things that happen to them. But be very careful. I've seen this a number of times. people that come to church and just sit, and maybe not even faithfully, and they don't get involved, almost every single time they get offended and they leave. And they'll say, oh, it's because this person hurt my feelings, or oh, it's because that person said something mean to my kids, or oh, it's because somebody didn't pat me on the back, or somebody didn't shake my hand. Or what they're really saying is they're not willing to suffer for Christ. Amen? Yeah. And folks, you read this list. Anybody here want to sign up for Paul's ministry? Not me. Whoa. But he kept on going, didn't he? And when you change and go somewhere else when God tells you to. And I could probably name 100 people if I tried very hard that would say, oh yeah, God told me to, and he really didn't. They just left because they were upset. Don't quit, amen? I just got to tell you something. The ministry is not perfect. Church is not perfect. People are not perfect. And then when you start serving God and making some difference, the devil's going to find somebody to come after you. Or some situation to come after you. And you know what you do? You just say, God, I'm weak. Help me. And you keep on going. Amen? I wish I could think of the fellow's name. Some of you know the story. You might even know the name of the Olympic runner that finished the marathon. He was the last guy to finish. And it took him, something like 3 or 4 times as long as it should have. And all the rest of the runners had finished the race and gone in, and this guy was still running, and he was hurting. And I should know the story better than I do, but anyway, people kept telling him, why do you keep running? You're last. Everybody else is done. And you're hurting, and you need to quit. There's no reason to finish. There's no reason to keep going. He said, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to cross the finish line. Folks, let's all cross the finish line. Amen? Amen. And I just want you to know the devil's going to try and stop you. He's going to try to get somebody to offend you. He's going to try to get some situation to get in your way. He's going to go after your health or your finances or your family or whatever he can. Well, I know this. I don't care what happens to any of us. I doubt any of us will ever go through what Paul did. And Paul kept on going. And he was able to say, I know I'm weak. So how does a guy that's that weak go through all this? With God, amen? Because of God. Let me read these last verses. He says, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, is that the king's name? The governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with the garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window, in a basket, was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. I think he ends the chapter with that. It's just kind of humorous to me. They couldn't stop him. And God didn't let him. And it almost sounds like it's a little bit of fun there. Hey, how are we going to get you out of the city, Paul? The Jews are everywhere, and if they catch you, they're going to kill you. And some guy says, hey, I got a big basket and a rope. And they said, let's go. And guess what? It worked. I wonder what God can do if we just give him a chance. Amen? Amen. There's the Bible says, we hear that about tribulation or about temptation. There's always a way of escape. And that ending story right there is just kind of like Paul's fiery furnace or David and Goliath or whatever. He said, I've seen God deliver me. And not that there wasn't peril. There was lots of peril. There was lots of danger. But God delivered me. Amen? Wouldn't it be sad to get to heaven and talk to the Apostle Paul or any of a million other Christians that have gone through things and then have to sit there quietly because you never had gone through anything for Christ? No, nobody had ever attacked you or confronted you or gone after you. And oh, by the way, that happens in churches sometimes, I'm sorry to tell you. But I think that in heaven, that just like David, just like Daniel, just like Paul, we're going to have some stories to tell of those times when the devil tried to stop us and God delivered us. Amen? So, I hate to preach a message like this because God's going to try and stop, or the devil's going to try and stop some of us. Amen? But I just want you to be ready. And don't let him stop you. Amen? There's no reason for him to.